All righty, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. So good to see you all today. I'd like to say thank you for letting us go on vacation. We had a wonderful vacation this past week, and I guess it was 2 weeks ago. We've been here all this week, but had a wonderful time away. I heard John Morrison did a wonderful job preaching on Sunday, so I heard a lot of good. I haven't got to listen to it yet, but heard a lot of good stuff, so big thank you to him. Speaking of John, he and his girls are at Lake Erie this weekend. They're celebrating Brooke's birthday this weekend, so that's where the Morrisons are. If you have your bulletins, just a few announcements. We've got some ministry team meetings. The finance team meeting and the benevolence team meeting are going to meet this Wednesday. The finance team couldn't meet this past week, so they're going to meet this Wednesday. Both those teams are scheduled to meet at 6:30. However, with both of them meeting, Greg's on both those teams, so we're small enough I can do this here during church. Can the benevolence team, which would be Mary and Joanna, can you meet at 5:45 on Wednesday instead of 6:30? Is that all right? 5:45? Okay, if for some reason you can't, let me know, Joanna. So, and Mary should be fine for you, right? Yeah. All right. Okay, so benevolence is going to meet at 5:45, and I'll call you and remind you of that this week. So, and then finance team will meet at 6:30 for everybody. Giggles. Sounds like you've been having a good time over at Giggles. Jaden gives me the weekly report over there, I guess. He enjoys going to Giggles. I think he's the only guy that goes. Jeremiah doesn't go, does he? Depends on the day. All right. Well, Jaden's having a good time. He even got a treat last week. But Giggles is August 20th, not this Thursday, but the next Thursday at 6:30 here in the fellowship hall. And it sounds like those ladies are having a lot of fun. So if you haven't been coming and you want to come, ask the ladies about it. They're having a good time. And bring a friend. What a great opportunity to bring a friend to meet your church friends and have some fun. Next Sunday, speaking of fun, we're having a back-to-school party for all the kids. It's for the whole church. The whole church is invited. It's going to kind of be like a barbecue and Bible type event. But we're going to be at John Morrison's house next Sunday, August 16th at 5 p.m. We'll have the address up on the screen, and I'll put the address in the bulletin next Sunday for everybody that doesn't know where John lives. But the pool's open. It's warm. The hot tub, if you want to go hot tub, and it's open too. We'll all just get in the hot tub that night. But we're going to barbecue. John's got a new hibachi flat top grill, so we're going to cook some meat on that and some veggies, and everybody can bring a dish or two to share. It's going to be a fun just back to school party for the kids. We're going to pray over all the kids, all the teachers, all the lunch people, whoever works at the schools. We're going to pray for all of them. If it's ever been a year that they need prayer, it's going to be this year. Going back to school and getting them all taken care of. So that's all the announcements I have for this week. We do have several birthdays this week. If you look at your church calendar, Judy Tingley has a birthday this Thursday. So if you want to send a card or a text or something or a phone call to Judy Tingley, her birthday is this Thursday. Jeremiah Anderson, his birthday is, bring him on out here, Jessica. You might as well send him up. Jeremiah Anderson, believe it or not, is going to be 5 years old this Friday. So talk about time going by fast. He's got a birthday this Friday. Olivia Parks, if you don't remember who Olivia is, that's Michelle Parks' little girl. She's got a birthday coming up this Saturday, the 15th. She's going to be 6, I think. I think she's going to be 6, yes. She's going to be 6. And Raven White, he's older than 6. 27. Raven, holy cow. He was in high school when I met him. What's that make you, Pam? Raven's going to be 27 this Saturday, the 15th. So if you have time to send Raven a card or text, phone call, whatever, wish him a happy birthday this week. So the only one we have in-house is Jeremiah. We're going to sing happy birthday to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, why don't you come up here so everybody can see your pretty face? Handsome face, I mean. Boys aren't pretty, they're handsome, right? All right, come on up. Get up here by Greg. Is that all right if we sing Happy Birthday?
Stand right here where you stand when you sing.
All right.
Everybody can see you, all right? Are you smiling?
Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jeremiah Sue. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Jeremiah. All righty. He's always a good sport with that stuff. All right. That's all I have this morning. So Reagan's going to come up and share the word with us. You're not going to need that much, huh?
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Thank you, Reagan, for reading the word to us this morning. You guys got to check out Reagan's mask here. She's got scales on her mask. So she's stepped up her mask here a little bit. All right, if you'd like to stand, please do so, and we'll lift our voices and hearts to the Lord in praise.
You gotta give it away. broken and scattered. In mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken. I've been set free. I've been set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Slain.
was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is. Until He Comes, and the scripture verse that's tied into it is Matthew 26 and 29. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. One of the many uses of ritual is to teach. Most of us learn best through repetition. If you don't think so, try diagramming this sentence. Unless you happen to teach English, most likely you can't do it. It's not that you weren't taught how, it's just that you don't practice it. The same thing is true in our traditional life. If you wish to learn from it, you must repeat it. So we repeat those rituals whose lessons need to be learned and relearned. So we repeat the Lord's Supper each week. One reason for this is that in communion we proclaim not only the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, but also his coming again. It is not an aspect of communion which is much emphasized. I find that the return of the Lord is a subject which is dealt with very lightly in some of the churches today, with some notable exceptions. This is strange considering that we proclaim it every week in this communion time. Make no mistake about it, we do not proclaim it in the Lord's Supper. Our Lord explicitly connected the Passover meal with his return, not with a return visit, but with the establishment of his Father's kingdom. You cannot take the Lord's Supper and consistently deny the return of Christ. Christ also taught us that when he returns in power and glory, we will see the resurrection of the dead. There are many disputing theories about the details of this, but we all agree on these things. All the dead will be raised to face some sort of judgment. The dead in Christ will be raised like he was raised, incorruptible. The resurrection is a bodily resurrection, not just a spiritual one. More than this is difficult to say, leaving aside the controversial, those who are in Christ will be raised from the dead in bodily form to meet him at his return. The body is an eternal body. The fellowship with him and with the Father is also eternal. And we proclaim this truth every time we take communion. Our deepest thoughts, the ones which surpass words, are acted out in the symbol in this ritual that we take. This is a part of the deepest ritual in Christianity. The resurrection of the dead cannot be separated from the passion of Christ. The resurrection is not an afterthought. It is not pleasant finishing up of Christ's ministry. The resurrection is part of the first coming of Christ. He meant to bring this message. The Old Testament hints in it in a couple of passages rather plainly. All of Christ's teaching on the subject presumes it. Jesus Christ did not intend his sacrifice to be effective in this life only. This morning, when we take this cup, we will look backwards to his sacrifice, and let's look forward to his coming again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day of life. Thank you for this beautiful morning you've given us. We thank you for those that made it a priority in their week to start it out in your house. Lord, we just ask a special blessing on each and every one that are here and those that would like to be and aren't able to. Lord, as we partake of these emblems, we just thank you for the sacrifice that you made on our behalf. We certainly don't deserve it, Lord, but you did it willingly. And we just thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Almighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Mighty God. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Mighty God. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Good job, Mr. Jaden. Thank you. All right, kids are welcome to go downstairs to junior church if you'd like to. Or you're welcome to stay up here and listen to me. They're leaving as fast as they can now. All right. With everything that's been going on this year, I thought... Thought about people and where people are in life right now, and this past 3-4 months, seems like we're trying to stay away from people as much as possible, and I know that's tough, and just this has been a weird year, just a weird year this year, and it made me think, and I've heard of people feeling very much alone, not just because they're in their house more or just away from people more, but away from regular activity sometimes. And it can make people feel alone, not just physically, but just alone in life, where you can even be in a room full of people and feel alone or feel disconnected with people and not really feeling like you're part of a community. And I've even heard people feel like, well, nobody really cares. Everybody's worried right now about their situation, about their family, about their what's going on with them. And it's very easy for people to fall into this, I don't know if you want to call it a mental trap or spiritual trap, that I feel very much alone to the point where I really feel like nobody cares about me. And it sometimes seems easier to just become a loner, do things by yourself. Sometimes it just feels like it's easier to do things by yourself. I know at home, if we're putting something together, if we're putting the Christmas tree up or we get a piece of furniture that needs put together, Mary will just tell me, go away. It's easier for me to just do it by myself. And more times than not, that's probably the truth. But there's no team building or no relationship building or anything. If you're constantly just doing things by yourself to get them done. And the problem with this is people living in isolation, they lose perspective on life sometimes. And they can develop a fear of intimacy. They can become selfish. And really that can affect your health. And I've seen this happen a lot in the last 3 or 4 months, where this whole thing of loneliness, this whole thing of Even that things are back to normal, not I shouldn't say back to normal, but things are opening up and we can do more and we're back in church for several weeks and doing things. And I know we're not to 100%, but the church is doing things. We've got ladies groups going on. We've got ministry teams that are doing things. We're out in the community serving a little bit more. But yet, it can feel very lonely and to lose that sense of community. So why is this? Why is it that we can be together but yet feel lonely at the same time? Because God did not make us to live alone. He didn't create us to live a life alone. In the creation account, God made man, and he said, this isn't good enough. This isn't good enough. I don't want man to live alone. I want them to have relationship. So he created for us relationship, not just marital relationships, But that's why God designed the church. That's why Jesus set up the church, to have a community of believers living in the world, but yet not being residents of the world. We obviously our residence is in heaven. We are foreigners in a foreign land here on earth. But God gave us this sense of community, this community of the church to belong to and to be a part of. Randy Frazee, if you don't know Randy Frazee, he's a Christian author. We did some Bible studies that he wrote. I love this quote from Randy. He says, "The development of meaningful relationships where every member of the body carries a significant sense of belonging is central to what it means to be the church. This is a God-ordained gathering of people that is so strong that even the gates of hell will not overcome it." That's what Jesus intended when he set up the community of church. And you see the early church in Acts, and the way they did things, and the way they set up things, they were all about Christ. They were all about serving the Lord, and they were all about community. Selling their possessions, giving things to those who needed things, but more importantly, more than needing things or daily life stuff, having relationships with one another. They ate together daily. They fellowshiped together daily. And because of that, they grew. The community grew together numerically, spiritually, and heavenly. Community is very powerful, and being unified means having the ability to dream big and to succeed together. It's always fun to succeed together. Anytime you do a group project or you accomplish something together, that's fun. And God intended ministry, God intended service for him to be fun sometimes. Now, there's going to be times where it's not so fun. But when we do things together as a community, it is fun. But what happens when community hurts? And that's what's going on right now in a lot of community. Church communities, towns, villages, city, there's a lot of hurt going on right now. We are very fortunate. I have many minister friends in Ohio, in Illinois, a couple in Indiana, California. Churches are opening up again and stuff, but they're still only seeing about half of their people. Some of them are seeing a third of their people come back to church, and they're trying to figure that out. And it's almost like a little bit of loss of community there within the churches. And that happens. But I want to talk about when community hurts, because after all, you know, we're still human. And developing community is hard. It involves risk. Hear that. It involves risk. And it involves all allowing yourself to become vulnerable to other people. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. But all of us, we need to understand, are naturally selfish and prideful beings. That's why we needed a Savior. That's why we needed Jesus to come and to teach us differently than what the rest of the world teaches. That's just who we are. God knows that, but that doesn't make it right. Our selfishness and our pridefulness doesn't make it right, but it means we have to learn to overcome it. And the sad truth is, people are going to hurt us. And I guarantee you, we are going to hurt other people. It happens, that's the reality that someone's going to accidentally or on purpose hurt your feelings. And it starts when we're young kids. I remember in school, kids making fun of kids. It happens. I'm sure I made fun of other kids when I was in kids, because it's not fun to be the only one being made fun of. So what do? We join the crowd and make fun of somebody else, make somebody else feel lower. That happens when we're kids. Then we turn into teenagers and adults, and we start forming prejudgments of people. We decide who people are, how they are, and why they do what they want to do without even getting to know them. We hear statements from people saying, you know, can you believe what she was wearing today? Well, I heard that he, fill in the blank. I can't believe they would come to church dressed like that. How can they live like that? Oh, let me tell you what they did 5 years ago. And it goes on and on and on and on. That does nothing for community. That does nothing for relationship building. Today I want to talk about developing loving relationships in the church for the purpose of forming community, so that the church can be stronger and do more for the glory of God in Jesus' name. So as we learn to become more like Christ, we can change the world for His purposes and be the community that God intended us to be. And it just starts right here in our little church here in Waterford. And hopefully that community will spread and become contagious. But this morning, if you have your Bibles, I want to read Galatians 5:22 through 24 this morning. Reagan did a really good job at reading 22 and 23 for us this morning. She read it from the NIV. I normally preach from the NIV, but this morning I'd like to read it from the New Living Translation. I just like the way it reads. It's a literal translation of the Greek here. And it says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our life. I love that. Before any of this can happen, before anything he talks about in the rest of the verse, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, not when our emotions control our life, not when our anger controls our life, not when our joy controls our life, not when life circumstances control our lives, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here, there is no conflict with the law. And then pay attention to verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there with Him. What a beautiful verse. If Christians really do that, when you take on the name of Jesus, when you accept His grace, when you accept His forgiveness, and you accept His transforming power in your life, God promises us the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we're baptized, we're not just promised the forgiveness of sins, the remission of sin, and the removal of guilt from our lives, but we are also promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is a supernatural, beautiful gift from God Himself. He installs His own Spirit inside of ours. He connects His Spirit with our spirit so that He can start producing godly character and godly godly actions from our lives. So how do we develop these loving relationships to form community? How do we form and develop loving relationships? I'm so glad you asked this morning. Because number one, to develop loving relationships, we must apply patience. If you read through the fruit of the Spirit there, there's three big ones that are going to connect the rest I kind of see in verses 22 and 23 there. Patience stands out big. To develop loving relationships in the community of God, we've got to apply patience with one another. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16 says, but that is why God had mercy on me, so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinner. This is Paul speaking. Paul. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners. You think of the patience Jesus has had to have with you in your young development or even into your mature development of your walk with him. Think of the patience Jesus probably had to have with you just this past week, let alone the past 10 years. Just this past week, how many times do you think Jesus had to have patience with you? How many times were you slow to act when Jesus is urging you, pushing you, you need to help this person, you need to talk to this person, you need to love this person, you need to change your attitude with this person, you need to put yourself in check? How many times this week, in the last 7 days, did Jesus have to show patience with you? Patience is the ability to take a great deal of punishment without losing our temper or without becoming irritated and angry. Think about that. Just think about that at home with your all-loving family. Have you ever lost patience, or have they ever lost patience with you? Patience is the ability to take a great deal of punishment without losing your temper and without becoming irritated and angry. Christ showed great patience throughout his ministry. Look how many times he had to be patient with the disciples who just didn't get it, just didn't understand what he was doing. He even had Peter out on a boat, out of a boat, walking on water. How exciting would that have been for Jesus to watch one of his children trust him so much they would walk out of out on water, start walking to him, and then lose focus on him? Let me tell you, it requires a lot of patience to teach a young one to do anything. We are in the process of teaching Jaden, my 6-year-old, how to ride a bike without training wheels. There has been many, many meltdowns. We are still not there yet. Getting there, but we're not there yet. That has required a lot of patience on our part and a lot of patience on Jaden's part. Jaden's struggling with the patience part, I'll say. How frustrating would it have been for Jesus to try to teach one of his disciples to walk on water? Now, that may seem huge to us. But Jesus' point was, if you would just focus on me, if you would just trust me, you will have the power to do anything in my name. Walking on water is just little stuff. God says, I've got mountains for you to move with me. And we can do it together. I've got mountains to move in your community if you'll trust me, if you'll watch me. But if we're going to develop loving relationships in the church, in our community, we have to have patience with one another. Getting rid of the meltdowns, getting rid of the irritation, the angry, having the ability to take punishment and not get irritated about it. This also includes the capacity to bear pain or trials without complaint. Let me say that again, especially for us men. This includes the capacity to bear pain or trials without complaint. Well, it's easy. I shouldn't say easy, but it's okay to get through pain, to get okay through trials. But boy, do we want everybody to know about it. We want everybody to hear our pain. That's what's going on in the world right now. Everybody wants their voice heard. Everybody wants you to hear about their pain and their suffering. Jesus Christ didn't advertise his. He went through it, got through it, and served. And all glory and all honor and all attention was given to God the Father. In short, we need to use self-control. Told you patience was going to connect to others. Another one of the fruit is that self-control. It ties in with patience. In order to have patience, you are going to have self-control with your brothers and sisters in the community. Don't make snap judgments. Don't have short fuses. Get all the facts before coming to any conclusion about anyone or any situation. You watch Jesus. You watch how he handled people. I use it a lot, but the example of the woman of the well is a great example on how to deal with people. Jesus knew exactly what was going on in her life. He knew exactly what her sin problem was. He knew exactly the pain she was going through, and he knew exactly what she needed to heal her. He had all the facts before he pointed out her sin to her, and then he also offered a way out. And he offered hope. It is impossible to help someone if we are prejudging them and think we have them all figured out. Because chances are, we don't. We don't know why so-and-so acts the way that they act. We don't know why so-and-so has missed the last 3 or 4 Sundays from church. A lot of times we think we might know, but it's not always accurate, not always true. So God says, I want you to use a little of that self-control. Have patience with that person and be willing to go walk with them. Go talk with them. Go do ministry with them. Together. So to develop loving relationships, we must first apply patience with one another. And that only comes with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you feel like you're out of patience all the time and you're out of control all the time, maybe we need to get on our hands and knees and allow God to self-evaluate us and say, I need to be more in tune with the Holy Spirit. I need to allow the Holy Spirit to take more control than life circumstances take control, than what my anger takes control, or my love for this or my love for that. God, I need you, your Spirit, to grow my spirit. The second thing to developing loving relationship, if we're going along with the fruit of the Spirit here, we've got to apply kindness. With patience comes kindness, and some of the other fruit are going to tie in with kindness. The definition of kindness is the state of being that includes the attributes of loving affection, sympathy, friendliness, patience. Oh, there's a fruit. Pleasantness, gentleness, there's a fruit. And goodness, another fruit. In the definition of kindness, you see 3 or 4 of the fruit of the Spirit there. Kindness is the state of being that includes the attributes of loving affection, sympathy, friendliness, patience, pleasantness, gentleness, and goodness. Kindness is a quality shown in the way a person speaks and acts. It is more like a decision than an emotional feeling and action. Let me say that again. Kindness is a quality shown in the way a person speaks and acts, which means it's a choice. Excuse me. Kindness isn't something that just comes out of your emotions. Kindness isn't just a jerk reaction. You choose those actions of kindness. The Holy Spirit, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the more you practice, like Greg was talking about in his communion meditation this morning, the more you practice kindness, the more it's going to become a natural action for you. But it always starts as a choice. You choose who and when you're going to be kind to. Now, when we attach our spirit with God's spirit, the Holy Spirit, we don't so much have that choice anymore. The Holy Spirit's going to say, you're going to be kind to everyone you come into contact with. Jesus comes along and says, yeah, you're going to be kind not just to people in the church, not just to people in your family, not just with your friends and your neighbors. You're going to be kind to your enemies. What? I can't imagine what those first people that Jesus ever taught that to, when that statement came out of Jesus' mouth, I want you to be kind to your enemies. You're crazy. Those are foolish words. kind to my enemy. Jesus, don't you know what they're doing to me? Don't you know what my enemy does to me and for brings me down? The reason I feel lonely is because of my enemy. The reason why I feel inferior is because of my enemy. The reason I've lost things in my life is because of my enemy. And you want me to be kind to him or her? Jesus says, yeah. I want you to be kind. Proverbs 25, verses 21 through 23. This is Old Testament stuff. This is long before Jesus comes. God gives this wisdom to Solomon. And Solomon tells us this: if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. This is long before Jesus teaches this. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. As a north wind brings rain, so a sly tongue brings angry looks. Long before Jesus comes and teaches this, God has already given the wisdom to Solomon to feed your enemy. If your enemy's thirsty, give him a drink. Why? Because in the end, God is going to be glorified. No one will come to Christ. No one's lives will be changed. No spirit will be humbled before God with hatred, with ugliness, with vengeance. A life will be changed when you show kindness to someone that the world says doesn't deserve your kindness. A heart will be melted before God when kindness is shown to that person, when the rest of the world says he or she doesn't deserve kindness. And they're going to wonder why. Why you? They may not say it right away, but they're going to go home and, after all I've done, why is she kind to me? Your spouse might even say that. After all I've done, why is she still kind to me? Your brother or sister sitting in the pew, after all I've done, why is he still kind to me? And ears are going to be drawn to the voice of Jesus. Hearts are going to be opened to the truth of Jesus when we show kindness. So developing loving relationship has to start with patience, which ties into kindness, which ties into gentleness. Number three, if you're following along in the outline, to develop loving relationships, we have to apply gentleness. This doesn't get practiced enough in church all over the world. What God is saying here is you're going to be sensitive to others. You're going to be sensitive to their spirit. You're going to be sensitive to their actions. You're going to be sensitive to their life situation. Not so much focused on my life situation and what's going on in my life and how busy I am and how many troubles and problems I have. What's going on in his life? And I'm going to treat it with gentleness. Colossians 3:13, again from the New Living Translation, says, "You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." If we're going to be gentle with one another, and gentle in spirit with one another, that starts with forgiveness. And again, I'll take it back to us just in the last week. Just in the last 7 days, not the last month, not the last year, how many times did Jesus have to forgive you this week? How many times did you have to humbly bow your head and say, "God, I'm sorry"? I can't count on two hands that I had to this past week. I've offended probably my wife. I've offended probably my children. I've offended probably my God. and I've had to ask for forgiveness. It happens. We're human. If you need that much forgiveness, what do you think people around you need? And what do they, you think they need to hear? The reason why people feel alone, even in a room full of people, is they don't feel connected because they feel guilty. They feel unwanted, unloved. If we're not treating them with gentleness, now you watch Jesus with a woman at the well. He pointed out her sin. He was not gray about it. There was no confusion about it. The man she was living with was not her husband, and there was sexual sin there, and there was a problem. And Jesus pointed that out. But you watch how gentle he was with that woman. You watch how much compassion and sympathy he had. Not because of her sin choice, but he knew that she was a slave to her sin, and he knew the wages of her sin was death. That woman was going to die without his help. We have to know that there are people that are going to spiritually die if we are not gentle with them and handle them carefully. Not throwing out judgment at them and cursing them. Well, if you just make better choices, that no, that's not how Jesus handled people. He was gentle. None of us deserve the forgiveness of God. But each day he gives it, and so much we. Forgiveness is me giving up the right to hurt you for hurting me. I'll say it again. Maybe it'll sink in. Takes me a couple times sometimes. Forgiveness is me giving up the right to hurt you for hurting me. And we live in a world that throws Old Testament statements, Jewish law, that says an eye for an eye. You hurt me, I've got the right to hurt you. No. That was Old Testament Jewish law, and most people that use that quote are nowhere near Jewish. Jesus says no. Someone takes your coat, give them your tennis shoes too. Someone takes your car, let them have your house. We worry so much about our stuff. And having our stuff. We forget that there's a person who wants to steal our stuff because they're trying to fill their life with something outside of Jesus Christ. If they need or want your stuff, let them have your stuff. But while you're at it, offer them Jesus as well. And that starts with forgiveness, and it starts with gentleness. This doesn't mean Jesus wants you to become a doormat. Don't hear that. Jesus does not want you to be abused over and over again and enable somebody over and over and over again. It means we are honest, but we are gentle. We are stern, but we are kind with people. And that takes practice, and that takes a gift from the Holy Spirit to do. But when we are showing gentleness, most conflict can be resolved with honest but gentle communication. Man, what would happen if we all started practicing that in our home? In our home and then in our church building. Think of how the world would be outside these walls then if we got it right here. And then we go have those honest, gentle conversations. Martin Luther King Jr. was a great example of that. He had some huge conflicts that he was trying to resolve. Some human right issues that he was trying to help resolve. And the man did it with gentleness. He did it with patience. And he did it with kindness. And nations were changed because of that. Now we're living in a world where people are seeing those same issues coming again and treating it with ugliness, hatred, war and murder. And what is being done? What resolution is happening? Nothing. There's more hate, there's more anger, and there's more fury. God says the only cure for that is gentleness, patience, and kindness. And that will come from my people. It's not going to come from government. It's not going to come from schools. It's not going to come from Walmart. You can't buy it. It's going to come from my people being in the world, acting like me. So we need to be careful about taking on the attitude of anger, malice, gossip, because we don't want to be like the world anymore. The world's got enough of that garbage. We should be different because we are Christ followers. I would venture to say, if I asked you to raise your hand if you're a Christ follower, probably all of us would raise our hands or you wouldn't be here this morning. If we go out into the world and we claim to be Christ followers, we cannot join in on the anger, the malice, the gossip, the garbage. When we ask Christ into our hearts, we made a decision not to live like we used to live, but to follow and become more like Jesus. If you need to make that first step today, we offer that to you this morning. If you need to come running up this morning and you need to make that first step, yes, I will accept Jesus into my heart and I want him to change me from the inside out today, and I accept his grace and I accept his forgiveness and I want to be different. Man, you coming running up this morning. For those of you who have already made that decision, patience, kindness, gentleness helps to bring unity in community. Oh, I like that. I didn't even do that on purpose. Unity in community. And we'll develop loving relationships that are going to last forever. And that's what the world wants. That's what the world craves, is loving relationships that are going to last forever. They want to be able to trust. They want to be able to have hope. And that is only found in you. Because only Christ followers have the Holy Spirit that offers hope, that offers gentleness, kindness, and patience to a world that desperately needs that. So won't you make that commitment this morning to your Heavenly Father? We're going to sing the Family of God. I like that song. I've been singing that song since I was about 5 years old. That's when I remember it in church. You'll recognize it when we start singing it, I'm sure. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Why? Because when the world seems to keep crumbling around me, I can count on my church family, I can count on my community to be there with gentleness, patience, and kindness. Make that commitment to Jesus today, won't you? Please stand up and let's sing our invitation song.
You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and those folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. From the door of the orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God.
All right, you may remain standing because we're going to pray here in a second. I did get one new card. This is for Dave Bishop. That's Belinda's brother, correct? Yep. He's having knee replacement surgery Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. So he'll have some rehab to go through and stuff. And so be praying for Dave. Belinda, if you know of any needs or anything the church can help with, please let us know outside of prayer. But absolutely. Yep, I understand that, absolutely. So, absolutely. So be lifting Dave up, be lifting the whole family, the whole Bishop family up as well as they take care of their brother there. And yes, I can understand why Belinda would be very anxious about that. So Joanna Donner's in our prayer list. She's in a lot of pain. She did go see the doctor this week, and he said she definitely needs to have heart surgery sooner than later, correct? Yes, that word later wasn't even in the sentence. So she's going to be having some heart surgery. I'm sure she's anxious about that. Bob's anxious about it, but it needs to get done. So we want her to be around for a little while longer. So be praying for Joanna. She'll keep us updated. She'll be getting an appointment for that surgery coming up soon. Frida Clark, there's a big praise. Home from the hospital. MRI showed no stroke, sign of stroke. And miracle, sounds like, with that family. So obviously, keep praying for Larry Fry for complete healing of his foot. He's still wearing the boot, I see. How many years have you been wearing boots, Larry? It's pretty much. Come on now. Medical boots. Several years. It's been several years. Joe McKintrick, he's having some issues going on. Joe also shared with me this morning that he's really frustrated. He's having a hard time keeping his blood sugar under control, even when he seems to be behaving himself. Susan might tell us different. I don't know. Joe says he's behaving himself, and he's really struggling. And some of you can relate with that, the struggle of keeping your blood sugar under control. And Joe's just frustrated with that and would really like to be feeling better sooner than later as well. So we have some family members that just need your prayer this week. Like I said, the Morrisons are traveling today. They were in Lake Erie, this weekend celebrating Brooke's birthday. I do have a praise. I got a neat praise I want to share with you this morning. I shared it with a couple of you coming in the door. But we always have these people we pray for that are in pain or close to death and stuff like that. I'd like to share a nice praise with you this morning. When we were on vacation last year at this time, exact same week, we went to visit my cousin. We just get along with. He's a minister too, like I am. He's 11 years younger than I am. So his family, his oldest child, is about the same age as Jaden, and we just have a really good time with them. And this time last year, they started the process of they wanted to adopt a little girl. They just wanted to include a girl in their family. They've been praying about it, and they started the whole process of having house inspections, paperwork, legal stuff. It's a long process, going to classes, all that kind of stuff. And that was last year. And about 2 months ago, they got a phone call that there was a little girl born in Florida and they thought that Lauren and his family would be perfect for this little girl. Well, they went all the way down to Florida 2 months ago, and it was a failed adoption. The mom decided to keep the baby, so they just came home, thought they were coming home with a baby girl and all that stuff, and just felt really empty, but yet felt blessed because there's a lot of people in the world that wish they were in their situation, healthy, happy, jobs, all that kind of stuff. But last Sunday, we went to church at their church, got to listen to my cousin preach, and during church, my cousin's wife got a phone call from Florida that a little girl had just been born on Friday, and the mother had given up their rights. What's neat about Florida is once the mother gives up her rights, they only have 48 hours to change their mind. So that's why it's a little easier in Florida to adopt a child. So she had already given up her rights. The state already took over rights of the child. So they ran to Florida, met the baby at the hospital, fell in love with her, and they had. So that was the day we came home to Ohio. They went to Florida, and they got a baby girl. So I just wanted to share that. It's nice to get good news every once in a while. So Joelle and Reese and Jaden, we have a new cousin, a new baby cousin. Her name's Idella, which is after my grandmother, but they're calling her Della. Her name's Della Holloway. So be praying for little Della Holloway. So far, she's healthy. The hospital was absolutely amazed at how healthy she was because she received no prenatal care or anything when she was in the womb. She came from a bad situation. That's why she was up for adoption. But God has just blessed their family. They've blessed her with good health. So if you would this week, if you think about it, pray for the Holloway family and their new baby girl. Pam? Thank you. We really need yes, and that's a serious one. If most of you saw Paula when she was here, she's lost a lot of weight. She can't lose any more weight. They've stretched her. Especially Paula. Yeah, she's anxious, of course, scared. As Christians, we're not afraid of death, but we don't want to leave our loved ones either. So that's tough. So thank you, Pam, very much. Anybody else have anything? Rhonda's here. That must mean she's doing okay. Thanks. Yes. Go ahead.
A lot of troubles in her life, and it was complications to that. And this is an adult daughter, 40 years old.
So. That's a friend of your family?
Yeah, a friend of mine from that used to work with.
Okay. Yeah, you hear stories like that every day, but when it hits home.
Yep. They'll take her daughter back, and then they raised her daughter 16. Too.
Wow.
So,
well, again, if you know of anything the church can do, let us know. All right, let's go before God and pray. Most holy Heavenly Father, the giver of all life, the sustainer of all life, Father, we recognize you as the one and only great healer. And Father, you just heard the voices of your children today crying out for healing. Father, each and every one of us knows somebody intimately who needs your touch, your healing touch. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask that you will change lives, lives like Paula, lives like David Bishop, who are in situations that can be scary. Father, Joanna and what's going on with her heart. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would go before these people, that your Holy Spirit would go before them, before they even enter the doctor's office, Father. I pray that you would already be interacting with their physical bodies, that you would begin healing, that you would be preparing for rehab, whatever the case may be, for one reason, Father, that you would receive glory and honor, that these people would have a testimony for you so that they can go and tell the world, this is what Jesus did for me. This is how Jesus healed me. This is how Jesus loved me. This is how Jesus was there for me through my hurt, through my pain, through my suffering. So, Father, as we ask for healing, I also ask for comfort for the patients and for the families that are going to be taking care of those loved ones. I ask that your Holy Spirit would guide them with comfort, with love, with patience, and certainly with gentleness. Father, we give you much praise, too, for the good things that are happening in the world, for where your Holy Spirit is moving all over the world. I praise you for the adoption of baby Della and the start of that new family together. Lord, I pray for continued good health for that little girl, and that she would just fit right into her new family, and that they would continue to love you and trust you and minister with you, Father, for the rest of their days. Father, for all of those who are in attendance this morning, I pray that you will send us each out into the world this week. And may your love, maybe your gentleness and your kindness will pour out of us, and lives will be changed forever because people came into contact with you, Father, through our community here in Waterford. Father, to you be all glory, honor, and praise forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Joel. Okay, upcoming events. The next Giggles gathering will be on the August 20th. And ladies that are here, and I'll tell May when I see her what beautiful wreaths those are, if you didn't see them on the back table from the last Giggles gathering. So the ladies, you did good. Susie's got some other cool stuff coming up, too. So, speaking of Giggles, I'm hearing some Giggles out here. Susan. Now, come on, Susan. You're being way too hard on yourself here. Way too. Oh, too much. That's good. Okay, we better keep moving. The back to school party this year is going to be at the Morrison's. And that's on the 16th, and that'll be at 5 o'clock, a little earlier than we typically start evening events, so mark your calendars for that. And then team meetings, I kind of fouled things up for the finance meeting last week, but it was for a good cause. Me and the grandkids, we went out go-karting and putt-putt. We had to keep my birthday going, okay, so that was my fault. We had to bump that. But anyway, the benevolence, we're asking you to come a little early at 5:45 so I can be part of that meeting too, and then our finance meeting will start at 6:30. So appreciate all those. It's all about me, Susie just said. Well, not really, but it kind of does. Yeah. Okay. Is there any other announcements before we sing our closing chorus? Hope you have a great afternoon. Heavenly sunshine, heavenly sunshine, flooding my soul with glory divine. Heavenly sunshine, heavenly sunshine, hallelujah, Jesus is mine. Amen.